He's been studying at Wayne State for performance piano, and he has taken a position at a church as their pianist and organist. So we're happy for Michael. We're sad for us. We'll miss his ministry, but we're very proud of him, too. We took a Sunday to just pray and send him off into ministry as God uses him. So we'll miss him, but we sometimes got to send one another out, don't we? Yeah. And, of course, Todd's, like I said, is visiting his family out in Chicago, so he wasn't on the base today. Anyway, you can turn in your Bibles. We will be in the book of Colossians chapter 3, but we'll be bouncing around in the book of Proverbs too, because that's where our focus is. But the New Testament had some very similar words to say, and I thought we needed to be there for that. So our series has been on doing life better, right? Colossians, I hear those pages turning. It's New Testament, after the Gospels and Acts and Romans and Corinthians, and you get the short epistles. Colossians is the fourth epistle. So God is the perfect parent, isn't he? And he's like any parent, because parents are created in his image, and we want to bless our children, don't we? We want our children to do well. We want them to learn and grow and become good, God-loving, people-loving followers of Christ. That's what parents want to do, and God's no different. He loves to bless his children, too. He's there to help. And God isn't just like us. We are, how do we learn? We gotta learn through the Word. We gotta learn through experience. God's not like us. He knows because he knows, because he created it all, and he is truth, and he teaches us about himself and us and how he designed us to thrive. Right? He knows how he designed us to work. Anybody seen some pretty sweet cars driving around? Some pretty sweet rides driving around. You got to put the right stuff in the tank for it to run right, right? The engineers said, this is the kind of gas you have to use. You can't throw a gas oil mix in your 69 Barracuda, right? That would not be good. No, you have the kind of gas that it was designed for. The same way, if you put a gas without oil in a two-stroke engine, you're going to blow up the engine. God created us. He knows how we are designed, and he knows how to make us thrive and do well. So doing life better is less about the school of hard knocks, although we all have to learn somewhat from that. It's less about learning from pain, which is the school of hard knocks, and struggle, and getting sucked into other people's mediocre or bad or advice. It is knowing, seeking knowledge, seeking God, and following in his word and his way. Because the designer gave us the instruction manual, and he's taught us how we are to live. And that's why we're going through this study of the book of Proverbs. We're looking to do life better, and this is something that teaches us. So today we're going to learn about God and work. So let's stand up as we read God's word. We love to honor God as we read his word by standing. Let's read together what he has to say for us. A slack hand causes poverty. The hand of the diligent makes rich. Proverbs 10:4. Whatever you do, work at it with your whole being, for the Lord and not for men, because you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as your reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Colossians 3:23 and 24. Lord, I pray and ask that you would do a work through your word today. I pray that you will have prepared my heart, prepared all of our hearts to hear what your Spirit is teaching. When you left Jesus, you didn't leave us orphans. You said you'd leave us your Spirit to teach us, to guide us, to counsel us. And so our dependence today is on you, Holy Spirit, to do the teaching. We will do our very best to listen and to follow and to obey. And we'll thank you for how you bless us as a result. All this we pray by faith in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. You may be seated. I talked on one of our previous sermons about how society had a fabric that kind of held us together in the past. And the church was very much a part of that in the teaching of God's word. But that fabric is not really so much a part of what's holding us together. In fact, because that fabric of God and his word is been kind of set aside, we are just, there's nothing that holds us together. And one of the things that was part of that fabric of life was this idea of hard work. God blesses hard work. Would you agree with that? It's true. God blesses hard work. And that's why we see some of these verses in Proverbs and here in Colossians. This verse tells us, whatever you do, so what is whatever you do point to? Yeah, that pretty much covers it all, doesn't it? Whatever you do, not just whatever you do in church, not just whatever you do at home, not just whatever you do at work, it's just whatever you do, work at it with your whole being, all your heart, right? And that's something that I learned from a few places. I learned it from my dad, who was always and still is, even at 90, he works at his recovery, trying to get back on his feet again. But back in his 30s and 40s, when he killed his back, he used to work at Sanders hauling around bags of flour and sugar and all that stuff, and he blew out his back. And, you know, we were kids, we were clueless. But he's told me in these later years, there are times he'd get up at night to go to the restroom, and he would just be holding on to doors and dressers just to get to the bathroom and come back. My mom had to put his shoes on in the morning because he couldn't bend over to put them on. And then he would go to work and put in his 8 or 10 hours. We didn't know. I was a kid. I was clueless. I knew my dad worked all kinds of weird hours. But that became a part of me. And I'm grateful for that. Another way that I learned how to work, how many people have worked in restaurants before? Raise your hand. Do restaurants teach you how to work hard? They will kick your rear end. I had a paper route before that when I was like 11. But I started working in restaurants when I was about 15. And I'll tell you what. You start as a busboy, hauling around trays full of dishes, you dishwashing, and you get into the kitchen, and you got lines out the door, and you're just like, you're going 100 miles an hour trying to keep track of all the orders. Man, it teaches you how to sweat. It teaches you how to go home dirty and tired. It taught me how to work hard, you know? And that was a great lesson for me. I've always been grateful for my experience in the restaurants because it really did teach me how to work hard. So those are some of the things. What does this mean to work at it with your whole being? To work hard, just that kind of work. You know what the restaurant taught me? It taught me that I can work faster and harder and longer than I thought I could. Did you ever get into that place where you're like, you are just exhausted, and all of a sudden you find out there's more to do, and you better get busy. And you're like, I can't. And then you know what you do? You do it. You do what you didn't think you could do, and you find out, I can work harder than I thought I could. It teaches you that there is, you can work hard and harder than you realize that you can. And that's a great lesson. Sometimes you hear it talked about in the sports world, leave it all on the court. Leave it all on the field, right? What does that mean? Give it your all, 100%. Don't hold back and say, oh, I don't want to, I'll be too tired at the end. I want to save some energy. You just, if you're going down the court after the ball, you're not just going, you know. No, you are sprinting down the court, even though it's in the fourth quarter, right? That's leaving it all on the field means. That's the kind of work when the word says, work at it with your whole being. Leave it all on the field. Work hard in whatever you do. It also teaches us to work well with your whole being. Work well. Work like other people are depending on you. You learn that in the kitchen, because usually there's two or three or four stations, and if you're on the second station, the people downstream, if you screw up and you're not organizing things right, everything falls apart. You got to make sure that you're doing your job well, because it's going to impact other people. And not just the other people in the kitchen, but who else? Yeah, you got customers. You're not going to throw something together. You know, I will admit, I will... You might hate me. You might think less of me as a result of this. There were pieces of toast that may have fallen on the floor. I know. I said you wouldn't think well of me. That may have gotten served. I was a teenager. But that's not serving well, is it? No, that was not serving well. That was serving like a kid who just wanted to not have to make another piece of toast because I'm backing up. And that's not mature. That's not working at it with all your heart. That's fine. That's saying, I can't serve this to that person. Pitch it, put another one in, right? That is working well, right? It's working with accuracy. It's working fast. You know, that's working well. It's working with pride. To have pride in your work, to care about what your product, whatever it is that you're doing, whether you're cooking or whether you're your children, how you raise your children, the work that you do, the ministry that you do at church, have pride. It matters when we do it with our whole being that we are doing it not only with pride, so that I don't want people to think less of me. But why don't I want people to think less of me? Because then they'll think less of God. I don't want people to look at me and say, wow, he kind of cuts corners, that guy who goes to church all the time. Right? Yeah. I don't want my work to reflect badly on me, so that my work doesn't reflect badly on my Jesus. I want people to look at me and say, boy, he really busts his tail. He really tries to help people. Even when he's busy, he'll stop and he'll help somebody else. And he's a Christian, right? That's what I want. So work well as well as working hard. And, you know, that's the work for others. Let it be a part of your witness. Let it be a part of who you are and why you do the things you do. Because it's not just a how thing, is it? It's not just how you work. It's why you work. Right? Next slide. Not just a how thing, it's a why thing. For the Lord, he said, whatever you do, do it, work at it with your whole being for the Lord and not for men. Because you know that you'll receive a reward, an inheritance from the Lord as your reward. There's that too, isn't there? Our works, our lives will be judged, and there will be a judgment of our lives. This is not a salvation judgment. This is a judgment, bema seat judgment, Christ's judgment of our lives. And we'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you're serving. That's the why. That's the why. Because I'm not serving me and I'm not serving you. I'm really serving him. So whatever it is that you're doing, work at it as if you're doing it for him, right? We talked about in this year, we say, Lord, Lord. And we what? And we mean it. I love it when one person remembers my sermon. No, you're good. I'm teasing you. Yeah, when we say, Lord, Lord, we don't just say it. It's just not just words. I truly mean, Lord. Lord, this is when I say Lord, this is what I mean. Lord, I bow my knee before my King, and he is the Lord of my life, and I work as if I'm working for the Lord, the Lord. It sets our priorities, doesn't it? Whatever I'm doing, I'm making sure that I'm honoring him first. I want to honor him first. And our trust in him, our allegiance to him, guides our decisions. It guides how we, our choices. It guides how we treat others and how we take care of our lives, right? With your whole being. But it's not just for the eternal. Well, there will be an eternal. It's for the practical as well. And this is where our Proverbs verses bring us into. It says, A slack hand causes poverty. Anybody remember that, what's the picture where there's God is reaching towards the human, the man, Adam? Michelangelo's, what is it called? Sistine Chapel, yeah. So you've got God is reaching down towards man, and then man is kind of like this. His hand is just kind of slack. It's just kind of like, yeah. It's a powerful picture, isn't it? You know, for the artist especially. But yeah, it's we want to not have that slack hand towards God and towards our work, because the reality is, this word slack means to be idle, to be negligent, you know, in your work, to be slothful. Lazy is a word that it's used often in Proverbs. And you know what this, what it says? A slack hand causes poverty. Yeah. Just kind of like being a meh causes poverty. But diligent, that word diligent, not the hand of the diligent, the hardworking, the steady, the persevering means what? Rich. Is that a bad thing? Is that a bad thing to be rich? It's really not. Could richness be a stumbling block? Absolutely. But in and of itself, it's not money that is the root of all evil, is it? What is it? Very good. The love of money is the root of all evil. So, it's not being wealthy. It's not working. In fact, Scripture talks about working hard to gain wealth. It's Proverbs is full of it, and this is one of them. Be diligent, be steady, be persevering, and this is the result of it. God loves to reward. He watches how we work, and he loves to reward us. This is the heart of a Father God. Of course our Father wants his children to be successful. What father doesn't, right? And he loves it. But God also is willing, as a good father will do, to teach through consequences, right? And if you have a kid that's just not getting his work done, he's not doing what he's supposed to do, he's slacking off at school, you know what? You know what you do? You don't reward him. In fact, he loses things, doesn't he? He loses privileges. He gets punishments. That's just parenting. And God's willing to do that. He's willing to allow us poverty if that's the choice that we've made. And that's not to say that everybody who's in poverty is there because of their choices. There are lots of people who are in poverty not because they're not hard workers. There's lots of people that find themselves rich who are slackers, right? It's not an absolute rule, but it is a way of life. If you're slack and idle and lazy, then you're not going to grow and you're not going to be successful. If you work hard and are diligent, then it will bring wealth to you. And that's just the way it works. So this next verse, Proverbs 20, verse 4, says, "The sluggard does not plow in the autumn. He will seek at harvest and have nothing." Now, a little background. It doesn't get bitter like our winter is cold in Israel, in that area. And in the in autumn, they will plow and plant for winter wheat, right? But it's cold and wet at that time. And so this is what they're talking about. I don't want to plow now. It's cold, it's wet, it's hard. It's just a nasty time to be outside. And the sluggard just doesn't want to do it. And he seeks for a harvest after that, and you know what he finds? Nothing, right? I love this quote from Newt Gingrich. I just came across it as I was looking through the thing. I'm like, boy, is this a great description of hard work. Perseverance is the hard work you do after you get tired of doing the hard work you already did. Right? How many people have experienced that kind of hard work? I'm not done yet? All right. Yeah. That's the kind of diligence and perseverance you got to be willing to do. You got to be willing to do that. But that is, you know, when somebody pursues that kind of diligence in their work, you know what they find at harvest? What? Yeah, a crop, a harvest, whatever. Yeah, whatever you sow is what you'll find, right? Yep. Very much a picture of the principle of sowing and reaping, which the New Testament speaks of. Right? Whatever you reap, that will you, whatever you sow, that will you reap, right? It's just kind of the way it works. If you don't sow any seed, you're not going to reap any harvest. And this is what the scripture's talking about. And harvest is God's, it's the promise of God to you. He wants to bless you, but he'll only do it through hard work. He's not promised to give you a harvest when you're sitting around not sowing. So God wants to bless us. There's a Proverbs 6:10 says it this way. I don't have it up there, but it says, "A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands," right? "And poverty will come on you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Poverty will sneak up on you, and all it takes is for us to just kind of go, just take it easy a little bit during this season. See, farmers back in the past, if you were a family farmer, your income, your how you provided for your family was your farm. You know, if you didn't sow and work hard in the spring and in the summertime, you know what happened in December and January and February? You starved. You went hungry. You went begging other people because you didn't put the work in at the right time, right? Back then, you know what? There were no credit cards. You couldn't slack off and then go to the store later and put it on a credit card. You just went hungry. That was just that simple. Unfortunately, nowadays, we've got to the place where it's like, you know what? I can slack off and not worry about it, and I'll find a way to get it later. And we've made all kinds of opportunities for people to swipe the credit card, and we don't experience the consequences of our slack, right? That's unfortunate because we don't learn. Unfortunately, our nation's in the same boat with the debt that we are under. What do we just keep doing? Print more money. And we're, unfortunately, probably our kids that are going to pay the price. God forgive us. Yeah, we don't feel that urgency, but it doesn't change the truth. Hard work is the way that God blesses us. So learn to leave it all on the field. Learn to leave it all out there and to learn how to, this truth that God blesses hard work, right? Let's read this again. Whatever you do, work at it with your whole being for the Lord and not for men, because you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as your reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Put that in all things into context with your whole being. And this whole, I want to plant this in your mind, that work, think about your work as worship. Work as worship, both for today and for eternity. Because as we work as unto the Lord, God blesses us practically here on this earth. But there will be a day when it'll make a difference in eternity. And I love this scripture in Revelations. John received this vision, and it talks about the 24 elders falling down before him who sits on the throne, and they worship him who lives forever and ever. You imagine that picture of these angelic beings just worshiping God, taking their crowns and just laying them at the feet of Jesus, God the Son. And they will say to him, "You, God, you, Jesus, are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Remember what I told Layla about glory? That's the same type of a thing. We give glory to celebrities. We will give glory one day to God, who is worthy, truly worthy of it. Our work will one day become worship. And I'll tell you what, if I'm standing there with a crown, a reward on my head for the life that I've tried to live, and there's 24 elders, angelic beings, worshiping God, you think I'm standing there with my crowd going, pretty good, huh? Yeah. No. I will cast my crown at the feet of God and say, "Thank you, God, for the opportunity that you gave me to do that." Work hard. You know, I'm inspired. You know who I'm inspired by? I'm inspired by some of my elders, our seniors. Amen. They have the understand how to work hard. They understand how to work hard. I'm calling some of them out. Orville is 94. Is that right, Orville? You're 94? 90? I can't keep track of them. Oh, that's right. You turned 90 just before my dad, right? It's out there cutting the grass in this whole plot once or twice a week. This is what it means to work hard and work well, right? I think of Don Clanky, who I catch him. He thinks nobody's watching. He'll be out there shoveling snow in the door entryways when it snows. I seen him out there walking, cutting branches off of one of the dead trees we're going to take down, hauling them to the dumpster. This is a guy who knows how to work hard, right? I see Doug, who's just always shows up for whatever there is that needs to be done, watering the plants. Don't they look great? He's one of the people on that team. He helps with setting up tables. He helps teach on Sunday morning. He's just wherever he shows up. I don't know, I'm embarrassing them, but sorry. You know, Joe's—he's retired. He's still teaching Sunday school after how many years? 20 years. He decided he was not too old to learn how to use the computer stuff for the ministry. That's cool. Yeah, Wes still doing Sunday school. He helps set up with Doug the communion the first Sunday of every month. Judy does the pantry once a month, helps out families. She's out. She's right in the middle of funeral meals and our picnics and stuff. You know, and I could go on. There's so many more people that just serve, and they're there to help drive people around and help people to go to doctors, and they're there for prayer. These are people that know how to work hard, and they inspire me. I'm 58. There's that little part of me that starts, you're not too far from retirement. Scarily enough, I'm not. But you know what? You don't retire from serving God, do you? It's awesome. I mean, and I like to work hard. I'm grateful for my father. You know, we're doing work days out here. I'm a mess of sweat, man. And I don't say that with pride. I say that with gratefulness because I was taught how to work hard and enjoy it. And enjoy it. That's why I like to run when nobody's chasing me. I enjoy working hard. That's why I will wash my own car and I will wax it from top to bottom. I like working hard. No pride there. I'm grateful for how I've been taught to work. One day, I hope that all of us can stand before God and say, God, Jesus, you are worthy. You are worthy, Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. Just laying all the accomplishments that we did for God, we just lay them at his feet. Say, thank you for giving me the privilege of doing that. You know, and I love seeing our new people that are plugging in and helping out. You know, I love seeing Kavanaugh's are plugging in and the Zubers are plugging in and Gary and Mary Ann. And I could go on. And it's a beautiful thing when the body comes together and serves, isn't it? It really is. It really is. We're going to close with a song. We're not going to do instruments. It's just a beautiful song to sing a cappella with just ourselves. Did I tell you which one? I might not have. Holy, holy, holy. Hey, I did tell him. It's just a song of worship. And it's a beautiful thing to just sing together, no instruments, just worshiping God, honoring Him, the holy, holy, the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. So let's stand together. Father, as we gather to worship and adore you, Spirit, I just want to give you a moment to speak into our lives. If there is an area that we've been holding back, an area that we've been slack or dishonest or not caring about the outcome of our work, Lord, that if you put your finger on that, Lord, I just want to give an opportunity for each one of us to just give it to you and say, God, I want to do this as unto you. So just take a moment to let the Holy Spirit put his finger on something in your heart and just give it to him and allow him to transform and change you in this area.